basically I'm in looking for a church, currently in the Presbyterian Church. So I'm here in Seattle. I came about 7 years ago from Columbus, Georgia, one of the hottest places in the world. And I came out here with my daughter, Indigo, who is my helper by default because she has to go everywhere I do. So I thank her for coming with me today. But I'm here. I went to seminary at Seattle University, and I'm just so excited to be here with you today. I preached a couple, maybe three times at Brandon's church, and they just were just lovely to me. And I'm so grateful to be here with you today. So I hope that I can stand up to this, the words that have been given to you, blah, 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 by the first Pastor Kelly. I promise I'll say a little bit more than that, but not enough to bore you. So today, I don't know. Wow, this is great. Today we're going to talk a little bit about following Jesus. One of the things that I really love to do is talk about broadening our discipleship. So today we're going to talk about following Jesus, and we're going to look at Mark 8:27-9:1, because I believe in this scripture it redefines what discipleship is for us. First we'll read the scripture, and then I'll pray and we'll go into the sermon. So I believe you have it in your bulletin, Mark 8:27-9:1. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of people." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. For what is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the angels." And he said to them, "I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me and melt me. Mold me and use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Following Jesus. When I first decided to follow Jesus, I was pretty young. I was 4 or 5. But I thought I knew what I was doing. So I ran to the front of the church and I stood there before my family and my faith community, just grinning, because I was deciding to follow Jesus. And when prompted by the pastor, I promised with all my heart, with all the pomp and circumstance and authority and authenticity that I thought I could muster at 5 years old. And I said, yes, I will follow Jesus. I declared my pledge, acknowledging that I would pursue the one who was the Son of God, who died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. And the church was huge. And so I said this to thunderous applause. And this made me happy because I felt included and I felt like I was a part of something bigger than me. We weren't very acquainted at five, this Jesus and I, but at least I knew that there was some depth and meaning to what I was saying when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew it wasn't a funny thing. I knew it wasn't to be taken lightly, and I was delighted to become part of the church. Well, we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus, a lot at my church. It was used almost every Sunday as the invitation to discipleship. So the organist would start playing and the choir would sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And now that I think about it, now that I'm 38 years old, that song was pretty haunting. And really, I sang it every Sunday, but I had no notion of what it meant. It was written by an East Indian man who had been raised in the Hindu religion. And he had been sent by his mother to a Christian school to learn English. When she died, he began to hate Christianity. He even burned a Bible as a sign of his disdain. Upon attempting suicide, he sat on the railroad tracks, just waiting for a train to come along and take him out of his misery. While he was sitting and waiting, he cried out to God, if you're real, come to me. If you're real, show me who you are. And God came to him on the railroad tracks. And from that day forward, he decided to be a Christian and to suffer alongside those who are most oppressed in his country, gaining the title by Christian communities, the apostle with the bleeding feet. He said, I am not worthy to follow in the steps of my Lord, but like him, I have no home, no possessions. Like him, I will belong to the road, sharing the suffering of my people, eating with those who will give me shelter, and telling all people of the love of God. Wow. I myself was gratefully uncomfortable with my own faith journey, though I certainly was not to the point of awareness of the writer of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I found as a teen, when I was kind of getting something under my belt here, I found that this Christianity thing was pretty easy, I thought. All I had to do was go to church, right? You know, just kind of show up and hang with my friends and maybe attend Sunday school or wear a cross every now and then on my neck. I thought maybe I could just sing in the choir and do a few things that all the other Christians did and all would be well, right? I mean, didn't that make me a disciple just to kind of do the things that others were doing? I mean, if I did that, nobody would dare, you know, challenge my motives. They would say I was a Christian. I was a disciple and who looked and sounded and dressed like all the others around me. Yet I am challenged, and I was challenged to my core when I became an adult. Is this all there is to this journey? I knew in my heart that my engagement with the scriptures, by way of which I became more and more aware of who God is, particularly in Jesus Christ, that there was so much more to Christianity than just looking or doing the part. So the scripture today, it points out 3 points of discipleship. which is slide 4, on which we will focus today. The first is knowing who Jesus is. Forgive me, because I don't usually use technology, so I'm like, is it up there? Oh, great. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing the secret, not the one Oprah made famous, but the secret that comes in the book of Mark, how to dance the way Jesus did. And 3, knowing how to be a true disciple. Jesus asked those who choose to follow him to declare who he is. Yes, this is what he was doing when he asked the community, so who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? We have to know who Jesus is for ourselves. No longer can any of us rely on tradition only, on who our parents believe in, or what Pastor Walt has told us. We have to know for ourselves who Jesus is and have relationship with Jesus for ourselves. So at slide 5, as we go there, we are called and invited to make a confession of faith with our mouths and our lives, to know and believe that Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, just as Peter believed and stated in the verse of this verse of text that we read. However, knowing for ourselves who Jesus is not the only hallmark of the Christian faith, and it's not actually the most important hallmark of the Christian faith. It's not enough just to know who Jesus is. In slide 6, point 2 of discipleship sheds light on this awareness. See, the Gospel of Mark is interesting. I love it because we talked about superheroes this morning with the kids. I wish I had known what the kids were going to talk about, because I really would have picked up on that and ran with it. You did a great job. But Mark is sort of like an action movie. It's like The Matrix. It's like, I mean, whatever action movie you like. Transporter is my favorite right now. Because if you read it, there's not all this beautiful language about how Jesus was born and angels descending. No, it goes right into Jesus' ministry. I mean, and then all the way, it's like, and then, and the next day, and the next. I mean, if you read it correctly, it's the best action movie you'll ever see. And so I love Mark, and in Mark, there's a secret, because Jesus isn't the Jesus of some of the other gospels. He's not always out telling people who he is. Sometimes he hides. Sometimes he goes through a crowd and people can't find him. And it's called the Messianic Secret, by scholars anyway. And it's clearly revealed in our scripture reading today. When Peter comes to his great declaration of Jesus as Messiah, Jesus tells the disciple to keep it to themselves. What's that about? It's a little odd, I believe. I don't understand why Jesus didn't want them to shout it from the mountaintops. Why not tell everybody that Jesus is Messiah? Because to me, that seems like it's a pretty big point. Yet Jesus spoke openly about being persecuted and suffering and that he would die. He was quiet about the glory and open about the suffering. I believe this way of seeing discipleship opens up a way to live Christianity that's different from just knowing who Jesus is. This way of suffering, of speaking the truth when it's unfortunate or popular for us, of doing justice and making peace boldly, openly, is true discipleship. For those like me who thought the fish symbol on the back of the car was enough, God called us to look deeper. And please don't peel it off if you got it there. Just leave it there, but I'm saying we got to do more. A former pastor said, we can wear a cross on our chest big enough to kill a vampire. But if that cross is not emboldened in our hearts, it doesn't mean anything. We're called to know this secret, to dance with Jesus, the dance of knowing and not knowing, of revealing and hiding. So much so that we have to do it to where it's not just about an intellectual knowledge of Jesus. We're called to dance and to know who Jesus is and to know what we're called to be and to do as Christians. Which leads us to our last point of discipleship. Point three states that we must know how to be disciples. True disciples. This is discipleship redefined. This is discipleship the remix, guys. According to the marking passage of scripture, knowledge and belief is just a primary step of what is required to us, of us as people of faith. Jesus implores Christians to follow him, which is to acknowledge and live the life which includes suffering, rejection, and even death. This is what connects those of faith to the other. This is the essence of our discipleship that forms community between us all. We're called to live in the tension between a comfortable life, free from risk, full of privilege, full of having everything we want, and one that may include persecution and mistreatment and suffering because we have stood on the side of righteousness for the sake of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you can go back to the slide with the scripture that includes verse 31. But 31 is an important scripture for us as Christians, but certainly for this, in this passage. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And looking at the original language, it is, he must be killed. It doesn't have an option around him dying there. This is where Jesus shares clearly that he will endure. And what shall be the plumb line for any who genuinely calls himself a Christian? In Mark, for the first time, Jesus offers a full meaning to not only the happy-go-lucky side, the joy and the hope and the meaning, because that is so important for us as we go through this life, but offers full meaning in what is only foreshadowed previously in Mark. This is the first time he says what will happen to him. This is where he makes the full role of his messianic relationship evident. Though it may not make sense to us, in our maturity as Christians, we find that this is one of the most important features of Jesus' life that we are to follow and choose as our journey. It's hard to think about it this way, I know. But this is a needful reminder. These are the things of God and not of humankind. This is the difference between just following, like Simon says, when we were in elementary school, I know we played it, where you just, someone calls it out and you have to just follow. And the difference between just believing, where we say, yeah, we wear t-shirts that say we're Christians and, you know, really that's the end of our discipleship. That's the difference between that and true discipleship, where our whole lived existence is acting out what Jesus called us to. This is the Christian's life and not one we should run away from. But if one allows it, it's really one of blessed paradox. Because if we deny ourselves, the scriptures say we will find ourselves. If you want to save yourself, you have to lose yourself. Perhaps this is why Jesus hid that he was the Messiah. Jesus wants to reduce who he was in that way so that we can focus on what was ahead. For surely these disciples found right after he was crucified what discipleship meant. True discipleship lies not in knowing the way, but in going the way. Is this not the challenge with which we're faced? To offer the disciple meaning, deeper meaning, broadening and enlivening what it means to follow Jesus. This is the clarion call of the church, where instead of having full pews, we have to worry about how many people are going to show up each Sunday. Because we're in the Great Northwest, also called the Nun Zone, where only 20% of people say that they claim some sort of faith expression. So we're faced with this as we tell others about how great our church is and how wonderful the worship is and how great the music is. We're faced with this as a lot of people have learned that or believe that they can live life without any faith expression. We have to really determine for ourselves what it means to be true disciples so that we can carry on the faith that has saved my life and the lives of many of us here. No more can we afford to stay where we've been. So we've got to follow Jesus. Let's take charge of standing with those who are most oppressed so that we can resolve to follow Jesus. Let's speak a fresh word on behalf of the Church of Jesus that is relevant and healing to those who are anxious, depressed, ridden with all manner of stress and loneliness. Let's resolve to follow Jesus. Let's say a word from the Lord to those who use their power to forward their own agenda, denying ourselves for the sake of building the kingdom of God. For today, I contend this call to discipleship is the difference between our desire to just be one person standing alone and our hope to be a part of the community of God, the body of Christ. So guys, this is a rough one. And it seems a little sad, but there is hope because God is so good to us. God gives us the ability to come here through danger seen and unseen, to sit with friends and loved ones, with children that we are trying to show the way of Jesus. But this is something that we also have to pass on, that life is not easy. And even though we've been through hard times, God gives us the ability to turn those things around so that we can find hope and joy and love in Him. Today is our day to preach faithfully, to live boldly, to lead with passion and joy, to sing to the best of our abilities, to play, to do everything we're doing, knowing that God, through God, we can do all things. And I am so grateful that Jesus, even in this scriptures, blesses us with this promise. If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who will lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Your lives are saved. Hallelujah. Blessed be. Amen.